All right, g'day Novocashroons, and welcome to the Round 4 Preview edition of the Jetstream Podcast. I've got two people joining me today. Firstly, welcome back Dr. Emma. G'day, Emma.
Ahoy, hoy.
And our regular, seems our regular preview person, go-to person for the Preview Podcast. Also, the co-host of the Fill the Hill Friday podcast that you can get on SoundCloud. Welcome back, Grant.
Yeah, hi guys. Glad to be back.
Awesome. All right, so in the preview episode, we're going to chat about the Round 4 fixture in the A-League between the Jets and Sydney FC at McDonald Jones Stadium. Kickoff is at 5:35pm. Before that, we're going to quickly jump into the opening question. Emma, we'll start with you. What is your favourite meat for a Sunday roast? This could be controversial.
I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, well, it's, so tofurkey or a...
No, I'm not into fake meats. I kind of think if you were going to eat a fake meat, why wouldn't you just have a meat? Because, yeah. Meat is weird. So, yeah, sorry.
No. All right, that's touched a nerve. All right, okay. So, okay, mental note for future reference, Emma, vegetarian.
So much for a straightforward opening question.
Yep. No, that's fair enough. Well, hey, that's no meat is an answer. Grant, what about you?
Leg of lamb, mate. Leg of lamb.
Yeah, you can't, I'm totally going to agree with you on that. You can't really go past the old Sunday lamb roast, although if you're a vegetarian, apparently you can. So that's a pretty quick opening question out and done with. So as I said before, Saturday sees us take on Sydney FC, who have had a pretty strong start, or the strongest start in the league so far, and the stats for this game are not in our favour either. We've played 35 games over the course of the A-League. 6 wins to the Jets, 21 wins to Sydney FC, and there have been 8 draws. Emma, is this a foregone conclusion?
I'm probably not the best person to do previews.
Come on, stats. Come on.
I don't care what the stats are. The good thing about football is anyone can win on the day. So even if on paper Sydney are going to be all over us, who knows what's going to happen. So I definitely wouldn't say it's a foregone conclusion. Yeah, we could pull it out in the last 9 minutes. So, yeah, let's wait and see.
Grant, it's 10 games without a win against Sydney FC, and we've only scored once in the past 9. As Emma said, records are meant to be broken. Why can't it be this weekend?
This is the weekend the record will be broken, I feel confident, because we should have got smacked last week and we didn't. And the boys are going to be up for that. And I think there's a little bit of pride on the line after 10, because we don't want to go any further than that, that's for sure. Look, I'm with Emma. I'm not really fussed about stats, because, you know, it's great to have stats that, you know, that somebody's been beating you. You got beaten by this team, you know, 15 years ago, but it's, totally different team, all round. So I think we're in for a shot, mate.
Well, that's a pretty good jump into the next question, Emma. Grant touching on the Wanderers game. Extremely important that we start well this game. Out of all the games we've played, the 3 games we've played so far, I think we've pretty much said to a T, we didn't start very quickly or very well in all 3 of those games. So we grew into the game, and Wanderers nearly punished us on last Sunday. So do you think it's going to be a good start is a necessity?
Yeah, despite my optimism, if we play like we did last week, we will not win. They need to pick it up from last week. They need to play like they did in those last 9 minutes for the entire game. And last week they did start strong for about a minute, and then it fell apart. So they need to get out there and act as a team this week. And I'm hoping that the turnaround late last week gives them that drive into this week. Plus having the Jets go over beforehand, who is that not going to inspire? So I'm hoping that pulls them up and they get into it early.
Yeah, well, Grant, it's with all the talk about we did have the discussion in the preview before the first game of the season, where we talked about Mark Jones, whether it was an advantage or not, having a local coach and someone who knew the area, and a couple of us, I was of the opinion that it shouldn't really matter whether it's a local coach or not, but. If you think that there's anybody that's going to instill, it's going to give some mongrel back into the guys after the performance we put in against Wanderers, you think it's going to be Mark Jones?
Yeah, look, I think his way of talking to the guys, and for what I've been watching at the training, is he talks confidence into them. he's not a a ranter and a raver. He's a tough bloke. He's got a reputation, okay. But there's a way to deliver that for people to see that he's tough and he's got that backbone. And I think the way he delivers that on the training field when he's talking to the guys, and it's different to what I've seen in the past. And I think that, look what he did. I suppose I'd love to have been the fly on the wall at the halftime talk because any other day, and look, he might be sticking it right into him and smacking him around the ears during that halftime talk, but I don't get the feeling he does that style. They came out and they still sort of had to get their gear together in the second half last week, but they, they held strong. And I think it's going to be the same thing this week as well. He's got their head in the right place. So I think it's that toughness that he's breeding into the club. So and I've spoken to other guys and they see the same thing. So
you agree? You agree with that, Emma?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess yes and no. Halftime clearly wasn't the turnaround point last week, so I don't know how much of it would have had to do with a halftime speech. I do think he's done a good job coming in with taking up someone else's team and just having to work with what he was given. Graham Arnold gave him the kind of backhanded compliment this week, saying exactly that he's done a good job working with not his team, and I think he was trying to psych him out into maybe changing up the structure a little bit. He was commenting that Jones is playing Miller's structure. So I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it. I think he's done a good job and I think he'll continue to do a good job, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I don't think Jones would fall into those sort of mind games. He doesn't strike me as somebody who'd get affected by that.
No, look, and if you look at this Sydney FC coach, he plays these games every round. That's his trademark, isn't it? Just these little snipes from the these little quips, and I think they're easy to read, and smart coaches don't get drawn into it.
Yeah,
and you can see by the team that's been picked and that that he's named with one to drop that it's going to be the same crew that went out last week.
Except for the injuries.
We'll get onto that in a minute. So it's actually a good jumping point to get into the Recovery Lounge section of the Feel the Hill Friday podcast, which you can find on SoundCloud. So we're going to hear from Grant and Todd now, live from Jets training at Raywood Oval.
We might move into our report from the Recovery Lounge.
Yeah.
Okay, so who have we got up there at the moment? I think that's
we've got Naboo.
Naboo getting getting a bit of a stretch, a bit of a massage. Cooper's up there as well.
I think Dan Alisi,
who
was down here on the park earlier. It's sort of good to see him back on grass, doing a bit of
ball work,
light drills. Yeah,
yeah. He's
I think that's a bit ahead of where he should be again.
Yeah,
seem to be able to get people back pretty quickly.
Yeah, no change with Mullen, but if you count the weeks down, he's got 11 weeks to go, so it's still a long way for
the talk him. Of an injury replacement, but there's a technicality over the 12 weeks to get somebody in for 12 weeks and then not be able to play Dan Mullen.
Yeah,
or do you risk the fact that we don't take an injury replacement and he's back in 8 weeks and he can be back on the park?
That leads into some more of our Recovery Lounge report, because we do have an issue now, don't we, with our backs, because Lachlan Jackson?
Yeah, Lockie's out for 3+, I think.
Yeah, well, he's gone for more scans. So they thought initially 2 to 3, but now it's looking a little bit more serious than that, and so when we find out, but at this point in time it'll be over 3 weeks for Lachlan Jackson. And with Naboo, they're saying up to 3 weeks.
Yeah,
so
he's sort of been upgraded.
That's a big blow to the team
is.
To have him off, especially coming up against Sydney this weekend.
It's a chance for somebody to come in and step up, though. I don't know how many more people we can get him to step up, like the blokes that we've had in last week again.
Yeah.
They actually started with basically the team that we had before. I thought they might have started with a bit more experience, but went with Devante Clute, who deserves a start.
I've been saying he deserves a start. Yeah. And just looking there now, mate, there's BK hobbling down on his crutches in his car to catch up with everybody. He comes to all the training sessions just to say good day and talk to the guys. So yeah. Yeah, sorry, mate. Yeah, Devante Clute, I've been saying he's good for a start.
Deserved his shot,
he
did. Yeah.
I don't know I must say, I don't know how effective he was on Sunday. I think it's more the way that Western Sydney Wanderers, and basically the way we played, let's face it, the first 10 minutes I thought we were great. We went off the boil for about 60 and come home with, a draw with a couple of good goals. Call them how you want. Good or not, I think Nigel will be extremely happy to score the 20,000th goal.
He's really stepped up, really impressed with Bogues this season.
Gives him confidence, though, to get up there and think, I'll have a gut crack at it. And same with Hull. Really pleased to see Hull get a goal, whether Redmayne fluffed it or... But anyway,
it was still there for him to fluff, wasn't it?
Exactly. He's put in the right spot. Yeah. It was a nice strike. He's got it around the wall, and hopefully that'll give him... He's a confidence player, so we should be right, I think, now with him. But it was interesting to see how they changed it up and moved him into the centres.
Yeah.
Made a big change, because we brought Poljak on off the bench on the 40th.
Yep.
And, interested to see that he come off the bench. I would dare say he now, that because of the changes being made with BK moving into the backs... Poljak will be a starter, so I think that wasn't a problem. Then in the 58th minute, Nubby come on for Devante, and I think really started to steady that ship. And
he's our class player at the front, isn't he? I'm sort of looking forward to seeing him and KK up front, which I don't think we've really seen the best of any of that yet.
No, and look, and with Coco, guys, he's out there in the middle of the park. He's running around. They're playing a three-quarter length field game, and he's out there running around in it. So he's in the mix.
I think he's. He was 1-2, and really, he should actually be back this week if things go.
We might find a little bit more. If they go to the full contact game later this session, we might have a bit.
More goals over here, whatever they do. They've brought goals over while we've been talking.
So we'll see how we go. But at this stage, I don't know. I don't want to see him rushing back in. But at this stage, I don't know if Coco's going to be there on the weekend. We'll just have to wait and see. And maybe a little bit later, we'll find out when Jonesy announces his team. But then Hoff came on on the 70th. Did he come on up front?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Where he's from, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Take the striker out of the right back.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite
interesting to be left-sided as well, because he's, I think, from what I can remember, he's predominantly right-sided when he played. He was a right-side.
But put it this way, at the end of the day, we got the point, so it worked. So from that point of view, Coco's getting into that heavier training, but, we're still not really sure, are we?
Perhaps the presence of just some experienced players just to steady a few things amongst the younger blokes.
That's
last
right.
10, it sort of was just different. It was like, we're not going to give up. We just need to do a few basics, get back to a few basics and see how we go. And
get that ball moving team, again. Yeah. Because that's where we had it in the first 10 because of our ball movement, and we lost it because our passing was rubbish. And then we again pulled it back together. But in regards to the backs, because of the injuries we got, I hear there's a bit of a rumour about a Tom Whiteside, a former Jets youth player.
Talking about the weekend, it sort of gets back to that 12-week thing.
Yeah.
Where they're sort of, I think they're going to probably hold off. He was sort of thinking he might have got a gig back here, which would have been...
Yeah. This is his personal preference, is it?
He's been talking to...
talking to the club?
Clayton, saying.
Yeah.
Yes, he sort of would have played under Clayton when he was here.
Yeah.
And they're sort of looking for somebody as that injury replacement.
For Mullins,
But I think there's... If we play, if we get somebody for the 12 weeks, Mullins can't play for 12 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Where and if then if he comes back in 8, we're in trouble.
We're in trouble, and yeah, there's a technicality there that I'm not sort of exactly certain about. It sort of got discussed.
And talking about technicalities, I believe our Tomislav, our Wollongong Wolves keeper, has, we've got a technicality why we can't sign him at the moment.
Yeah, he's apparently listed as an amateur.
Ah, so but he was playing overseas, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, it's, so it's an interesting call, but apparently that's...
Maybe the Serbian sort of,
yeah, we've missed signing him in the transfer window.
Right.
We could sort of still get him here as... The injury replacement.
Because, guys, he's here at the moment, guys. He's, yeah, he's been training again. So
they're going to try and get that rectified.
Yeah,
I think
okay,
the bloke, he's the bloke that we're looking for as Ben Kennedy's replacement.
Yep, yep.
And I think they were prepared to do something as far as making that official the other day, but unfortunately when they've checked into it, to sign you on the dotted line, is there's a technicality with FIFA and the FFA.
Okay.
As far as signing him outside the window now.
Right, okay. Well,
I think if we'd done it a couple of weeks ago, we would have been fine, but the amateur status sort of causes a
different
problem
headache
at a higher level.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's, a bit, that's interesting, isn't it? That's yeah, well, look...
Still got a voice issue.
Yeah.
It hasn't come back.
I lost my voice, and I was watching it from the watching the comfort of my lounge room, mate, so I understand. But look, as far as our recovery lounge, I think that's about it for that report.
All right. Well, thanks very much to Todd and Grant for that. So we'll jump into the squad now, which was announced earlier on. So reading through the ins and outs. So we've had we've got the full squad. It's a 16-man squad. 17-man squad. So one's got to be cut. The ins, Coco has returned from his injury, so we'll have a chat about whether he goes straight back in or whether he's onto the bench. Pavicevic comes back in, and the new signing, Johnny, now I'm going to probably massacre this horrendously. I can't even say massacre properly, let alone his last name. So Kutrambus. Or Katrumbus.
That'll do.
Okay, that'll do. Johnny, we'll call him Johnny.
Sure.
So out, Naboot. We do have the correct pronunciation, thanks to Andrew himself on Twitter. It's the T is not silent. And
thanks for not correcting me the first time, Andrew.
That's all right. So, Naboot is out for 1 to 3 weeks, which is a nice little indefinite period. And Lachlan Jackson, with his ankle issue, is also out. There's no time frame on that yet, so I'd say he's probably going to be out for a couple of weeks as well. Obviously, Daniel Marlin, Ben Kennedy, and Alessi are also out for extended periods. So... Grant, what going on from what you guys saw at training, would you be looking to run with maybe starting Nordstrom in this game and not, because obviously we looked pretty mobile with Klute playing in that false nine sort of position with the front three all, well, obviously we can't have a front three if Naboot's not going to be there, but would you be bringing Coco in to act as a focal point, or do you think we probably need a bit more speed with starting with Morton and then go from there?
I think we'd, I'd be pushing Klute out into Naboot's spot, and starting with Nordstrom.
Yep.
So I've still got a feeling that Coco will come off the bench, but watching him at training, though, he's right into it. He doesn't seem to be lightening up or anything like that when he's going into tackles or anybody else going into him. So, I'm not too sure. I think I made a comment there about he might probably be coming off the bench, but I wouldn't be surprised on the other side to see him start either. So, I'm not too sure with that.
I'd go the other way.
Yeah.
I'd put Nobby on the wing and put Klute in the middle, up the front. I think Nobby's much more comfortable on the wing than Klute is.
Yeah. Or your other option, of course, is obviously Labby's got to be itching for a start pretty soon. Mm. He's just lacking a bit of match practice. So do you maybe throw him on for 60 minutes and then bring Klute on and then bring Nobby on? So, yeah, Emma, what do you think? Would you like to take a chance on Labby, or would you run with Nobby and Klute, who have actually had some minutes on the park as opposed to 3 minutes 2 weeks ago?
I think Nobby has to start. I don't know who else you'd put on the wing in Naboot's spot other than Nobby, or Hoffman if you're feeling crazy. So I think Nobby has to start.
Yep.
Whether or not the other start goes to Coco or Halidi or Clute, I think, is the big question. I think Clute did well when he started last week, but I'm not sure if he did enough to keep that starting spot. Yeah. So depending on, but for me, it all depends on how fit Coco is.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly my thoughts as well. I think Clute is probably a better option coming on as a sub. We gave him we tried him as a starter, and it didn't quite work. And we looked much better with Nobby when Nobby came on. So I would probably be going along with what Emma said. Maybe starting Nordstrom out on the left in Naboot's spot, and then maybe taking a chance on having Labby there, and then bring on Coco, bring on Clute, and then you've also got Pavicevic and whoever else we decide to dump on the bench. So Grant, obviously, missing quite a few centre backs now, so we're getting down to having to either stick Canner in there or taking a chance on the young fella that Jonesy signed from Adelaide. I can't really see him doing that. I think he's going to have to go for experience and stick Canner there, don't you?
I do. I think, yeah, in my team, Canner's in that taking Jackson's role for the foreseeable future until we see what Johnny can do, because, as I say, he's for a centre back, he's he's slightly built, so I think Canner's got the Scott, a new BK, I think I called him on our pod the other day.
Okay, so he's not one of those imposing type centre backs.
No.
All right, so looks like it's Canner and Hal.
Can't Cowburn have a run at centre back? He's a utility player. Could he not get at centre?
Is he tall enough though?
He's done left. He's done right. Let him do centre now. Apparently, he can do everything.
Wow.
And really, he's a midfielder. So.
Yeah,
no, that's true. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. Well, that's going to be the interesting thing. So
I don't think it'll happen, but I wish it would, because Canter is a jinx in the back.
Yeah, well, we saw that when we tried him last week. So, you know, the problem is we've not really got any other options unless we're playing players out of position. So, Emma, going on from that, so obviously Hoffman's back. Ivan did really well last week, so much so that when Hoffman got brought on, he actually got played up front rather than being played as a fullback. Who starts this week?
If I was choosing, Hoffman's going to start. And Vizhika is going to start for the two sides.
Right.
But for me, the question is, Cowburn doesn't deserve to get dropped.
No.
So where's he going to go? It's really hard. I think he's equally as deserving of the start as Vizhika, who did do well last week in a sea of crap.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a really tough call. If it was me, Cowburn would be in and Canter would be out, but I've not seen him play in that position. But, you know, they do refer to him as a utility player, so if he's versatile, I can't see why he shouldn't be able to.
And, Grant, so obviously from what you think Canter's going to start in that centre-back position. You haven't seen any other options being trialled during training?
No. Canter's been playing in that position, so I would say that's where he's.
Okay.
And because he's for the faults that he has, he's a known quantity.
Yep.
And you know, and maybe if he's if he's told, look, you know, if you think you can't get your chest in it, don't stick your arm in front of it.
like putting Canter in because he's a known quantity is like staying in a bad marriage because you might not meet a better guy.
I do not disagree. I do not disagree, but I can only what I was looking at, and that's what it looked like. So whether they pull whether that changes, we don't know. But that's if I'm not a big gambler, but if I'm going to put money on it, that's what I'd put money on.
Yeah, savage there, Emma. Anyway, no, that's good. That's all. It's all opinion. So, all right. So
you keep me for my controversy.
Well,
let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all right. You've got a doctorate, so you're able to have an opinion. You're more authorized to have an opinion than anyone else because you've got the paperwork to prove it. So, all right. Likely starting 11 then. So, I think everyone's agreed. Duncan keeps his spot. Bugard keeps his spot. we think it's likely that Cairn is going to stay in centre back. Now we just have to decide whether we think that it's going to be Ivan and Cowburn, and Hoffey still has to push on from the bench, or whether Hoffey starts. So, Grant, who are your fullbacks going? What I know what you'd like to see. What do you think is going to happen? So, what's Mark likely to pick?
I wouldn't be surprised to see. Dreads me to say it, but I think Cowburn might be on the bench.
Yep. So it'd be Ivan and Hoffman.
Yep.
Okay, you agree with that, Emma?
You've done nothing wrong. I wouldn't say he deserves, but it's the coach's call. And
yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but also Cowburn on the bench is actually pretty good because then you can put him in at the back or in the mids, depending on what happens. So he's not a bad sub for that reason. No. And I do often say that there is no shame in being a sub if you're a sub that's used well.
Yep. So I think we're all universally agreed that Stevie, UG and Poliak will be in midfield. Now, we just have to decide. Well, again, likely start, Emma. We know you think you would want Morton to start. Do you think that's likely to happen, or what do you think Jones is going to do?
I think he will, yeah. I can't see why he wouldn't.
So front three of Morton, Brown and Hull? Or behind someone up front?
I guess.
Yeah. So we just think that it's either going to be Coco Labbie or Clute who's going to be up front playing the striker role.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, all right. What do you think, Labbie? I'm crossing fingers for Labbie. I want to see Labbie. Play him up front.
So, bring on the chest.
Yeah, exactly right.
Nah, I reckon if Coco's... My order would be Coco, Clute, Labbie.
Yep.
If fitness pending.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, getting to tactical side of things, Grant, would you be aiming for the... Or would you be thinking that the Jets would want to start quickly and try and grab an early goal and keep pressing? Or do you think that Sydney FC are a very strong team, maybe sit back a little bit more than we ordinarily would and let them tire out and then look to punish, try and keep the score to nil or keep the goals down as much as possible and then look to punish them as they tire? Because our fitness has been, out of all three games, we've not tired at all. We've finished all three games very strongly compared to the three teams we've played have tied noticeably towards the end of the game.
Look, I'd be trying to run them all over the park. I know we've got, we might have some cracks starting to appear in our back line, but it's still a very solid back line. And so therefore I'd be pushing Sydney all over the park and using that fitness to get that advantage later in the game. Whether you can score, if you keep pumping that ball up and, as I say, whoever we've got up, whether it be Nobby or Coco can pinch one early, that's great. Then even then after that, I'd be still pushing and pushing that ball around and, again, running them. Because some of the legs in Sydney are starting to get a bit older.
Yeah.
So I think that's, Bobo's an absolute bomb, but how fit is he? Well, let's find out, I say. Same as Brosk, run him off his feet.
Yeah, well, see,
he's got to be...
The problem, well, I mean, we'll talk about Sydney in a minute, but the problem is not just Brosk and Bobo. You've also got Abini. You've also got Matt Simon, who loves to score against us no matter what shit shirt he's wearing. And, and we've also got to worry about Brilliante and Dimitrovic in the midfield. So they've got some really strong players across the park. So, Emma, tactically, what do you think? Would you just be hounding them from the off? It's got to be we can't be less aggressive and not chasing those second balls and 50-50s in this game that we were doing away to Wanderers because we'll get murdered.
Well, I'm going to maintain my hypothesis that we play better on the counter-attack. And so I think that they need to, and Sydney's going to come into this thinking on paper, we've got this, we're the top of the table, this is just little Newcastle. So if they can keep control enough to get the breaks when Sydney has the lapses, I think that is how we'll succeed.
Okay, good stuff. All right, so I was able to speak to one of the guys from the Nothing But Blue Skies podcast to get the Sydney FC perspective for Saturday's game. And we'll hear that now, and then we'll come back and have a quick chat about Sydney FC before we get into our predictions. All right, to give us a Sydney FC perspective on this Saturday's match at McDonald Jones Stadium, we welcome to the Jetstream podcast one of the hosts of the Nothing But Blue Skies podcast, Boris. Welcome, Boris. How you going?
Not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Not too bad, mate. Really appreciate you being able to join us.
No worries, anytime.
All right, mate, three games into the season and Sydney FC are top of the table with victories against Wanderers, Central Coast and Wellington. Have you seen the performances across the three games, and has Graham Arnold changed much tactically from game to game?
Oh, look, I think it's been a really impressive start from us. We're not traditionally fast starters to a season. We've gone three games in, we're undefeated, we haven't conceded, which is some really new territory for Sydney FC throughout its history. I think the opening game of the season, I was a bit worried. We were talking on our own podcast about how that game was going to go against Wanderers. I thought it was going to be a bit iffy because the Wanderers always kind of show up against us, even if they're not doing too well during the season. But, you know, we completely dismantled them in the first game. We backed that up with another four-goal haul against the Mariners.
We were very pleased with that, by the way.
Oh, you know what? I think, you know what? That game was tough to call. I thought we would do them comfortably, and I think I picked the 3-0 scoreline. But, you know, four is four, and, you know, it's not often you score four goals in back-to-back games. So
yeah, exactly.
I think the Mariners as a whole, that's a separate issue. They've got a lot of work to do. But, you know, four goals for us, eight goals for, none against. And then we had our game against Wellington, which is pretty much our bogey game seemingly every season maybe the last three or four seasons. And as much as I gave crap to everybody on Twitter that we'd battered them all for the 90 minutes, we got out with the skin of our teeth there. So, you know, a win against your bogey team is always good. Wellington happens to be our bogey team, and it's given us 3 points, another 3 points, so that's 9 from 9. And I think what Arnold has got out of last season, I think he's realised, any good coach will realise the mistakes he's made last season and put things in place to try and improve. So what you've seen up front from us this season, we've got Holosko, we've got Bobo, we've got Ninkovic, we've got Bross coming off the bench, a really strong attacking quartet and a quintet when you consider whoever's coming off the bench. Last season, and to further that, we're a lot more mobile up front again this season, which is something we struggled with a lot. Last season, we had Shane Smeltz coming off the bench, and then we had Matt Simon coming off the bench as the other striker.
Yep.
You know, those two guys, they're not very quick, although Matt Simon's proving that to be a bit of a, you know, myth this season with the kind of pace he's showing, outrunning people down the wing. But last season, we were very static up front, very just very flat-footed up front. There were a lot of games I watched, obviously, live at the stadium, and, you know, Smells would get a one-on-one through ball and the defender would catch him, you know, with miles to spare. So it turned out nothing. So what we've seen up front this season from Sydney is a little bit more mobility. That interchanging, where I think Arnie wanted to bring it in last season, but obviously figured out fairly quickly that that wasn't possible with what he'd brought in for last season. But this season it's a lot more better, it's a lot more mobile, and it seems to be causing defences problems at the moment. So it's been a welcome change, especially after last season.
Yeah. Well, Graham Arnold's not a coach that's necessarily had universal love from the Sydney FC fan base. You'd probably be fairly comfortable in saying that. Do you think that this season's his final chance to actually win some silverware? And if it's just the FFA Cup, is that going to be enough?
It's tough from my perspective. When I believed we should have got Graham Arnold when we got Frank Farina. You know, Sydney has a history of hiring some, you know, underwhelming coaches, and probably Frank Farina's at the top of that list.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the stars weren't aligned then, and they were when we got him in. I thought, honestly, season one would be see where we are, make changes, contest in season two. that was kind of accelerated. We contested on all fronts bar the FFA Cup, because I think at that point we still weren't taking it seriously as a club and as a football department. But, you know, that first season under Arnie, we annihilated pretty much everyone bar Melbourne Victory when it counted. And last season was a whole bunch of decisions that's probably gone wrong, and in my opinion, the worst one of all was allowing Shane Smeltz to be number one choice striker. This season, you know, he's in the final year of his 3-year deal, and he's got to get things right. I think if we're competitive and challenging for trophies, it gives him an extension. The A-League we've seen over a number of years, you know, really anyone can win it. And in the last couple of seasons, it's been the most organised team all over the park that wins it. So, you know, you've had your Brisbane Roars, you've had Melbourne Victory, did good a couple of seasons ago. Adelaide were barnstorming last season once they clicked. So I think the good thing for us is we've had a fast start, really, this season. We've got 3 wins on the board. We haven't conceded yet. And the squad is nicely balanced. We've bought well, recruited well, and the depth is back, which is something I don't think we had last season.
Yep.
So I think there are a lot of things going our way this season. I mean, early on, like, you look at Matt Simon, last season he was gone for all money, and for some reason he got re-signed, and he's playing well. He can't put a foot wrong at the moment. He's playing on the wing this season, he's outpacing people, which is astonishing, and he's supplying deliveries that are leading to goals. None more high profile than his cross for Bernie Arbini in the cup game last week, and also for Miloš Ninković in the winner against Wellington last week. So, you know, at the moment, our team as a whole is firing on all cylinders, and things are looking good. So I think at this stage of the season, normally I wouldn't judge us so early on. I'd probably leave about 6 or 7 games in, but we're looking good this season. And, you know, trophies could be coming our way for the first time in a long time.
All right. Well, it segues into this question about your squad. As you said, you had a pretty solid recruiting effort in the off season. Has it surprised you how quickly the new signings have bedded in, and which one do you think's been the most standout performer so far?
I think the most standout performer is Bobo by far. He's come in, settled in really well. You can see there's really good glimpses of him partnering well with Filip Polosko. They've got a history together, playing together in Turkey. So that's been really good. I think your basic signing for me is like Alex Wilkinson. That's someone who's played under Graham Arnold before and performed well under him. So for him, it's a no-brainer of what Arnold is going to expect from him. Someone like Josh Brillante is coming back, looking to make a name for himself. He's had a lot of game time in preseason, so, you know, he's done the job there, and he's looking good with Brandon O'Neill in the midfield. I think that's probably arguably one of the best combinations we've got in the A-League itself. You look at Danny Vukovic. You know, you look at his situation as a whole and away from football, you know, a lot of issues personally with his kid. Wanted to come back to Sydney to have a bit of stability. His family, his wife's family, can help him out with taking care of his child, and it allows him to focus better on football. And you can see the results in the first 3 games, how well he's performing.
Yeah.
You know, and he, for one of the players, I'm not sure of the Socceroo squad that was announced today or yesterday, but he's got to be close to a recall given the form he's showing early on in the season. So, you know, and then you've got the Bernie Beanie factor coming in. He had an unlucky run in Europe last year, a few weeks before the season start. He breaks his leg. Our job as a club would be to get him fit, get him playing to what he was before he got injured. So, you know, there's a lot to come from Bernie. He played 10, 15 minutes last week in the cup game. I'm not sure if he played on the weekend against Wellington. I missed a bit of that game, but, you know, there's still a lot of good things to come from him as well. So if he can recapture his form that got him the deal to Bruges, which is Matt Ryan's old club,
yep.
you know, that's a massive weapon for us throughout the season too.
Yeah, well, jumping into the squad announced for the game on Saturday, Woodcock and Nabini both come in, and you haven't got any players out or unavailable due to injury, so that makes things, I suppose it gives Graham Arnold a nice headache with a definite challenging for positions to start. So what do you think is going to be your likely starting 11? Do you reckon there's going to be many changes from what you saw over in Wellington?
I think Graham Arnold's a coach that makes changes where he has to. I mean, our squad for a while, even a lot of last season, you know, there's always two to be omitted. Riley Woodcock gets promoted, Bernie Beanie gets promoted. Who do you leave out of the squad of, you know, 20-odd that get announced? Like, it's always a tough call.
Yeah.
In terms of playing personnel for the first 11, I don't think we see many changes from the weekend game against Wellington. I think it'll probably be fairly the same lineup. Whether he's got a few tricks up his sleeve, that's Arnold, that is. Yep. If he's got a few tricks up his sleeve for Newcastle, you know, we probably won't see these until game day. He's always been a coach, especially last season, to mess around with the A-League team sheet that gets plastered on Twitter and your social medias and things like that, and yep. It changes at kickoff. So I think we'll stick to, for the most part, I think we'll stick to what he's had last week and the other two games. And I think he's in the kind of mood, or the mindset, sorry, where he's forcing teams to play or try and defend to what we've got attacking-wise as a unit. So, you know, there's a few key things there. You know, once you get in a team, your opposition to play the way you want them to, things become a lot easier. So it'd just be interesting if he's got a trick or two up his sleeve, but I think we'll see the same as we saw in Wellington.
I guess we'll find out. So just before we get on to your prediction, do you see any areas of weakness in your team that the Jets could look to target?
I suppose the only weakness that I see is probably maybe David Carney. I mean, he's not the player he was when he first hit the scene, and, you know, it was clear a bit last season when we got him from you guys, when he eventually made that mid-season transfer.
Yep.
You could see he still attacks well, still got a good brain on him attacking-wise. Defensively, once he starts to tire, it does become a big weakness, and at points he does struggle. But where we can be sort of broken down, I've still, from a personal perspective, I know a lot of Sydney fans would probably disagree with me, but I still feel like Matt Yeoman's a bit of a weakness.
Yep.
In our side. I mean, we've got him. It's not like we have much depth there. We've got him or either Sebastian Rolle, and Seb Rolle last season wasn't crash hot, not in his best form by any stretch. So I think, if anything, if you can probably make Matt Yeoman fire up a bit, get him offside in terms of anger and stuff, I think that's a good place for any opposition team really to try and break us down there, because being at the heart of defence, you've got to be on your game.
Yep.
Oh, excuse me, all the time. So, you know, if you can break the heart of your defence down, you know, and make back four a bit wobbly, yep, unsure of themselves, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see whether Jones ends up picking Coco and has him hassling your defensive partnership, or whether he goes with some speed and sees if he can run around him. But we don't know what's going to happen. So I guess we're just going to have to put our Nostradamus hat on. And prediction time, what do you think? What do you think the result's going to be?
I still think Sydney will win. I like how Newcastle progressed during pre-season, but for me, preseason's always been about one thing, and it's dusting off the cobwebs. Wins don't really mean squat.
Yep.
I know the Jets boys came, I think, the last six games of preseason, they won all of them. But, you know, the A-League season started, I think you guys have one win and two draws.
Yep.
So, you know, whether Newcastle, you know, have the have the core there of a decent team, a team that can challenge for a top six spot. Title chasing team, probably too hard to tell for you guys early on during this season, but you know the makings are there. As for a result on the weekend, I still think just our experience overall and some big game plays that we've got, I think, are going to carry us over the line. I don't think any team is going to come to Newcastle or host Newcastle and find an easy game at all during the season. So I think it'll be a tough contest, but I think the Sky Blues are going to come away with the points again in this one. But on the flip side, there's every chance we could concede one this weekend, because at some point it has to go.
Yeah, well, I'm just hoping we don't concede the first 70 minutes like we did against Wanderers on Sunday. So, mate, really appreciate you making yourself available. Thank you very much. If people want to contact you or check out your podcast, how can they get in contact and how can they check you out?
We've got our podcast page is on Facebook. It's just Nothing But Blue Skies. You'll find us there. If you want to follow me personally, I'm on Twitter with the handle 23RBG. Our podcast is available on iTunes as well, but we're having some technical issues with them that we're following up. But I think we're on, it's either Podomatic or Podbean. You can find the stream as well for a listen. So, yeah.
Good stuff. All right, mate, really appreciate it again. Thanks very much for joining us, Boris.
No worries, mate. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. All right, well, that's the Sydney FC perspective there. So, Emma, talking about Sydney FC, they've obviously 3 wins out of 3. It's early days, but the recruitment that they've gone through in the off-season, they've probably, and I said it in the season preview, they've got, I think, this one of the strongest squads in the league.
They've definitely got one of the strongest squads in the league. But as I often say, this is a team sport, and having lots of good individuals is not necessarily going to make a good team. And they have had a strong start. They are top of the table. They haven't lost yet. But they only just beat Wellington last week, who were the bottom of the table and haven't won yet. Mm. So they clearly have some things they still need to work out. And if we can take advantage of that, if we can find what those weak spots are, then I think we've got a chance.
Grant, did that Wellington game provide a blueprint for being able to deal with Sydney?
I think so, because Wellington were very unlucky. How many goals did they have? How many times it was in the back of the net but wasn't a goal? So, yeah, they were very lucky to come away with the 3 points, Sydney. And, but you can see who their very effective men are. So, I'm quite sure we're working plans in the background there to sort of limit their abilities. And I think if we can do that, and we seem to be able to do that quite well, and we start targeting other players, we can do it quite well. So, yeah, they've got some, there's no getting away from it. They've got some real danger, It'll hate him even more. When Simon comes on, you've got to watch him because he's going to try and score, isn't he? So,
Probably usually while smashing people out of the way and being general asshole that he is. So,
been a tool.
Yeah, exactly. So, Emma, did the weaknesses in the Sydney FC squad, do you see them as any players, or do you think actually Graham Arnold might be the weakness in the Sydney FC side of things?
We all know I'm not a fan of Graham Arnold. And I guess, and if I'm going to say, they're all brilliant individually, but as a team, maybe they're not there yet. I guess it is the coach I'm blaming, really, because that's his job, isn't it? So,
Do you see him as a tactically flexible coach? I don't think many people do, but I need to have a quick chat about it. He's... If the system he's trying to employ isn't working and you get into 60, 70 minutes and the team's getting frustrated, is he really going to be able to change anything?
Well, being flexible means admitting something's not working, and he's never going to admit something's not working because he's a big sook and will just blame someone else. So I don't think that's on his side. I think he's got a bad attitude for a coach, and I think that kind of bad attitude is probably going to infect his team eventually. So good luck to them.
Yep. So, Grant, any particular players you think are probably weaknesses? Do you think they're probably vulnerable at their fullback positions?
Yeah, look, German. I think he's not as quick as he used to be. I think some of their other backs. Zulu. I still don't rate Zulu. He's only for the fact, I suppose, he keeps getting smashed. Whether it's intentional by other players, I don't know. But he's quite injury prone, so I don't know if he's going to be looking for full contact. And I'm not saying we push him off the park either, but there's a couple of players there that who I think that they do have weaknesses. Broska's a big game player, but he's, again, he's not as quick off around the park as he used to be. So I think that there's some people there to be targeted that we can make. But on the flip side, they've got some absolute guns. So, yep.
Well, that's a good segue into the next point. Emma, who's the players we have to watch out for? Obviously, Bobo, who's their marquee striker, has got off the mark straight away and has scored in every game, or I think two out of the three games. Mm. But he's obviously one of a number of players that we've got to watch out for.
Yeah, I think Bobo will be interesting, and they are going to need to shut him down. I'm personally interested to see Carney and Brilliante on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be interesting, and I think that's going to be definitely two people we need to target. Not that Carney's that good, just that he's going to be a troublemaker.
Yep.
And Brosk is apparently fully fit again, so I think he's going to be a worry as well.
What about you, Grant?
Brilliante, Carney. He wasn't shooting that well, was he, last week? So if he keeps that up, he'll be fine.
Has he ever?
he'll be great. I'll be quite looking forward to seeing him run onto the park again.
Yeah.
Say good day.
To the massive boos of everybody in attendance.
I think there's going to be a lot of action, considering I was a huge defender of his when he was with us, and then he goes and leaves us for other reasons. But anyway, look, Bobo, definitely. The guy's class. You can see, he's picking him out. That first goal he scored in the FFA Cup, I think that he said, hello, I'm here. But, Brilliante, Ibini, they've got some good players on the park. And I don't reckon
Ibini's going to get a run this week.
He'll be used off the bench. He'll be used. They'll use him off the bench.
Yeah. No, I reckon he's got another week before he gets a run.
Well, they gave him a run in the FFA Cup, and he came on and scored. So I think the one we've got to watch out for is going to be Holosko, because he's the one that's been linking with Bobo. He does a lot of that Wayne Brown type stuff.
Shut Holosko down. Shut Bobo down. You reckon?
Yeah, I'd target him definitely. But I'm really gutted that Brilliante signed for Sydney, and I'm gutted that we didn't have any space to try and get him back here. But he's going to be one player I'm going to be interested to see how he goes against us. So it's going to be definitely interesting. All right. So go Grant.
I was just going to say, and we know that Matt Simon's going to be brought on late in the game.
Yep.
And it beggars belief that every time he comes on, he is able to get in a position to score a goal or do a hell of a amount of damage to set up a goal. So, as soon as he gets on the park, he should be, they've got to be all over him.
Yeah.
Let him know that he's not supposed to be there.
Well, going back to the areas of weakness, I'm looking at their squad and I'm thinking that they're probably going to be playing Wilkinson and German as a centre back partnership, and that doesn't strike me as particularly quick. So and they probably either play Ryle or Grant on one side and have Zulu on the other. So that defensive line, while it's held pretty well so far, I think is definitely, if we can attack it, there's definitely opportunity there. Anyway, we'll get to the prediction now. Emma, what do you think's going to happen in this game? What's the score going to be at full time?
Oh, despite all my optimistic talk, I'm going to tip a 2-2 draw again.
Grant?
Yeah, me too.
2-2 draw? Oh, I'm the only one being optimistic here. I'm picking a 2-1 win, so all right.
A draw will feel like a win.
A draw will feel like a win. But
because I think everyone expects us to lose.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so we'll get on to the rest of round four before we cover off some news and close it out. Round four starts off on Friday night, 28th of October. City hosting Adelaide United at 7:50 p.m. Amy Park. Grant, what do you think the score is going to be in this one?
City 2-0.
Emma?
Oh, I'm going to back Adelaide, actually. Yeah, City have had a big week.
What about Timmy?
Yeah, no, I don't care. I'm not fussed. I'm not fussed on Cahill.
Mm.
I think City have had a big week, and I think Adelaide will want it more. Yeah. So I'm going to go 2-1 to Adelaide.
All right. I'm going to do similar to you, Emma. I actually think it's going to be 1-0 to Adelaide, and Yoshi will be the kiss of death, and they won't win a game for a month. All right, so after our game on Saturday, sees Wanderers at Spotless Stadium. I can't imagine they'd be playing this at ANZ. Hosting Central Coast Mariners, 7:50 p.m. kickoff. Well, that's going to be fun to listen to on the way home. All right, Grant, what do you think is going to be the score here?
Wanderers, 3-0.
Emma?
Same, but 4-0.
Yeah, well, I'm holding up Bodie's end of the bargain here. I'll also be tipping a 4-0 win to Wanderers. Sunday's another doubleheader. Sunday sees Brisbane hosting Perth. 5 p.m. kickoff up at Suncorp. What do you reckon?
Perth for sure. Perth definitely. I'm going to go lots of goals, though. I'm going to go 3-1.
Oh, okay. Grant?
I'm backing Perth as well, but I'm not as optimistic. I'm going to say 2-1.
Yeah, and I literally just wrote that down. So thinking the same as you, Grant. Two Grants are better than one. Perth, 2-1 over Brisbane. All right, final game of the round sees Melbourne Victory hosting Wellington. 7:50. Why have they got 7:50 p.m. kickoff on a Sunday night? That's a bit weird.
We're 5:35 on Saturday.
Yeah, well, so I can understand an earlier kickoff on Saturday, but these 7 p.m. kickoffs East Coast on a Sunday night are stupid. Anyway, Grant, Melbourne Victory, Wellington Phoenix, 7:50 p.m. kickoff. What do you reckon?
I think Kevin's misery is going to continue. I don't think he'll lose, but I think they're going to be 1-1.
You've literally just said the same score I wrote down. Emma?
Yeah, no, I'm going to go the same. I think Wellington have got a goal in them this week, and Victory have had a big week as well. Yep. So, yeah, 1-1 as well.
Well, everyone's picking 1-1s. All right. Okay, so we'll just quickly cover off some news before we wrap it up. Clayton Zane announced the National Youth League Jet Squad today. Quite a few returning players and quite a few and some emerging Jets talent has been popped into the youth league squad. Emma, have you had a chance to run your eye over the squad for the upcoming season?
Yeah, I've had a quick look at it. I think it looks pretty good, and like you said, it's a good mix of returning players and up and coming players, and I think that's exactly what you want in the youth squad. So I think it's going to be good.
What about you, Grant? Have you had a chance to have a look over the squad? And you've probably seen some of these players a lot more than we have.
Yeah, look, and the fact that the numbers that they've got training with the first team, it's doing. I reckon it's absolutely love it. They're jumping out of their skins.
Yep.
When it starts to get into that full heavy stuff, they break away because they say that some of our players, our first team, we've got 15-20 kilos on some of these younger guys, they're really getting involved, and Jonesy's got them involved in nearly all of the aspects of training, except for when it starts into that full contact stuff. So, look, the Cody Carrolls, the Cameron Joyce, because he must have been so close to that first team contract for under 20. So, I think it's a good team, mate, and it's great to see those emerging Jets coming through, and to think that it's. Yeah, those plans they're putting in place is actually starting to come to fruition, and yeah, good stuff.
Absolutely. All right. Now, the other piece of news that came out within the last 24 hours was that they finally confirmed that Malele has been signed by the Jets, former Chinese youth international. We did talk about it when he made the appearance, but it's now his contract has been confirmed. So he's been with us for a fortnight. He's going to be wearing number 18 for the forthcoming campaign. Grant, are we actually going to see him at all in the next month or two, or is it going to probably take him a little while to get into condition?
A month or two, yes, I reckon. He's watching, because obviously he's of keen interest to us, because his ball skills are quite good. I can't see any issues with that. He's running. He's keeping up with all of the guys. He might be. I think he's sweating a little bit more than the other blokes, but he's there at the end of training. There's no hands on knees or anything like that. He's up there with as far as fitness is concerned. So the only concern is, I suppose, is, you know, we've got hard grounds and tough competition. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, I'm sure the lack of pollution is more than making up for that. So, so Emma, it was interesting to note in the press release that Mark Jones stated that Lele has got a lovely left peg, which we don't have in terms of delivery of set pieces, so that gives us another option. And he's got that little bit of X factor, that little bit of silk under pressure where he can make something out of nothing. So I set pieces, I thought we've actually done pretty well this season so far, because Hull's been handling most of them. If Malele has actually got a good shot on him with his left, that gives us another option so that Hull's not actually having to take them all the time.
Yeah, and, you know, God forbid if something happens to Hull, you do need another option. So, I'll be interested to see him play. I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings when he eventually gets a run. So
yeah, hopefully he's not going to be required sooner rather than later. We'd like to stop the injuries, if that's okay. Thanks, Mark. It's been certainly a hot topic during the preview. So if we could keep the same team on the park for 2 weeks in a row, that'd be great. So that pretty much wraps it up, guys. Get along this Saturday to the round 4 game, Newcastle Jets versus Sydney FC. It is the RAF round. There will be a flyover of the F-18s like there was last season. Bring your earplugs, because you'll be ringing for a few minutes afterwards, because it was definitely loud last season. But it certainly riled the crowd up. That was a fantastic event last season. And obviously the RAF families are going to be in attendance as well. And if it's anything like last season, they'll have the RAF out the front doing all the pre-game stuff. So that's going to be interesting and a great occasion. So kickoff 5:35 p.m. at McDonald Jones Stadium. If you want to come along to pre-match, it's at the Premier Hotel, which is 1 Bronco Road, Broadmeadow, from 2 p.m. Come and have a few beers and say good day to some people, and we'll all trundle on down to the stadium at about 40 minutes before kickoff. And if you want to join us in the squadron, make sure you buy a squadron ticket either online, where you can purchase your adult tickets, or if you need junior a concession, you can buy them at the southern entry gates at the ticket window there. So we're wanting to have as many people as possible in the active bays. So come along and join in. Must thank very much Emma for coming along tonight and giving us her thoughts. Thanks very much, Emma. How can people contact you on Twitter?
I am at Synapse101.
And Grant, thank you as well for joining us, and also for you and Todd's regular segment with the Recovery Lounge. Mate, how can they get in contact with you on Twitter?
It's our pleasure, and you can contact me at GrantBLK. And for this Saturday, keep an eye out for Todd, the Raw Prawn. He'll be sporting his new RAF-painted Air Force helmet, so you should be a looker.
Yeah, you should. Well, it'd be nice if the old guys that used to be in B2 the gold jumpsuits could make an appearance for a RAF round. That'd be great.
Brilliant.
Definitely. All right. And people can get in contact with me on Twitter. I run the @SquadronNui account, so you can always tweet me there. You can also get in contact with the podcast at JetStreamNui on Twitter, facebook.com/JetStreamNui on Facebook, or you can email us podcast@NewcastleFootball.net. Thanks very much for listening, guys. Good luck to the Jets. The Jets. Let's go, Jets. Let's beat the Smurfs, and let's keep going with this great start. Thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you next week for the review.
See you later.
Tara.
I don't have a Simpsons quote, sorry.
No, neither do I. I blew my load last week with the Aurora Borealis one, so yeah. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin!